Jason, where do we even begin? Your tweets are like a roller coaster ride through the Twitterverse. One moment, you're making predictions about banks. Pretty good, Paul. And the next, you're trying to convince us that a tiny covert pendant isn't the creepiest thing ever. Okay, that's pretty good. Those are good pulls.
Yeah. But
let's not forget your obsession with cold plunges. You're like a human popsicle. Oh, always trying to one-up your friends on Twitter. And don't even get me started on your AI requests. You're like a kid in a candy store, except a candy store is Twitter. And Twitter is an AI-generated Renaissance painting. But hey, let's at least you're consistent in your love of roasting people. Just remember, Jason, you're a prime example of why we should never take ourselves too seriously on the Twitter. Keep the laughs coming, and maybe one day you'll find a cold plunge that can wash away the absurdity of it all.
This Week in Startups is brought to you by LinkedIn Marketing. To redeem a free $100 LinkedIn ad credit and launch your first campaign, go to linkedin.com/thisweekinstartups. Vanta, compliance and security shouldn't be a deal breaker for startups to win new business. Vanta makes it easy for companies to get a SOC 2 report fast. Twist listeners can get $1,000 off for a limited time at vanta.com/twist. And Corient. Real wealth requires real solutions. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. For more information, speak with an advisor today at corient.com.
All right, everybody, welcome to This Week in Startups. It's Monday, so it's Madra Monday. Yes, my pal Sandeep Sunny Madra is with us. He is from Definitive Intelligence, and I'm an investor in that company. Go check out definitive.io. And what we do here every Monday now, in the age of AI, you can get used to it, is we just show and tell, demo or die, like the old days in the computer hacking clubs here in the Valley. You would just show what you built. You'd show your work, right?
You'd show up.
You show up with your work, and you share your work. And we all give it a letter grade here, and we give it some feedback and some general thoughts. So this has been a crazy week. You and I have been, for the last 10 days, playing with Grok, G-R-O-K, the new AI startup by Elon Musk and a really impressive group of talented people. And they have access to the Twitter fire hose, which nobody else has access to. And so let's get right into it. Sunny, what are your initial thoughts? And maybe we could do some demos here at Grok. What's working? Yeah, well, what's not?
Yeah.
It's very early days. So frame it for us where they're at.
Yeah. Well, very early days. Like, first of all, there's a couple of things that, you know, we got to give them kudos for. Like, you know, the company was only ideated, you know, 6 months ago, even less, like I think May. And then, or maybe that's six now. And then, honestly, I think they really only started building it like 3 months ago. And so this is version zero that we have access to. And I think they're already working on version one.
Got it.
They've talked about the infrastructure, which I think Elon mentioned on the Lex pod, the number 400, which they did this with like 10,000 A100s, right?
Wow.
So, yeah. So, you know, really interesting. And
that is a large cluster of A1s.
It is. It's, you know, it's probably, you know, like $100+ million of capital expense. Or if you wanted to, you know, rent it from someone, it probably cost you similar amounts on someone's cloud and hard to get access to that. So
yeah,
he probably knows a few people, given who he is, to get access to it and build that. And
I suppose if Elon calls and wants some A100s, maybe he can get the right person on the phone.
Yeah. And look, like, they have the advantage that they're not new to this, right? They've obviously been building clusters for a long time, within Tesla, right? And so there's some advantage to them that, you know, they understand like how to build it, how to get the internet connects all set up and, you know, data center space and everything else. So, which is gives them the advantage of moving pretty quickly because sometimes you can get stalled there.
Right. Just infrastructure, once again, is a roadblock. It became a non-issue for the last 20 years since cloud computing came out.
Yep.
Every month, it gets cheaper and easier to just throw something up on the web, on the internet. Now, with AI, a little more compute intensive, not so easy. I'm sure we will build up the resources in the next, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years, for it to be easy again, do you think? Or do you think we're going to constantly be playing catch up here?
Well, you know, this is what Elon, I'll just kind of go up because we're going to get into Grok here, but he mentioned on the Lex pod that he thinks we're going to have an oversupply of AI-related compute resources within the next 18 months.
That was my position as well. And I talked to him about it, and I used the analogy of fiber. Remember, we got all got very excited about fiber in the end of the millennium, the end of the century, last century, and they just started building so much fiber everywhere, and we didn't exactly have the tools, you know, built in. We didn't have YouTube. We didn't have HD cameras on our phones, right? So what was the use case for all that bandwidth? And a bunch of companies went out of business, and then a bunch of that got bought out. So there you have it.
And I'm just pulling up this tweet just to get it right. So I think Sarge is 8,000, not 10,000 A100s, and that he expects, you know, so where he expects them to get to, right? And so 64,000 by mid next year. Pretty
64,800 by next year. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So here we go, everybody. If you're not watching, we're going to sportscast this. So we'll describe what's on the screen for you and the implications of it. But if you want to watch, Spotify supports This Week in Startups video. There is a This Week in Startups video feed on iTunes if you search for it. And of course, YouTube. Just search for This Week in Startups. Okay. Here we go.
So, you know, one of the things that we'll just start out with is that, you know, it has these like two modes. And so if I kind of start a new chat and I'll flip back and forth here a bit. You're going to see fun mode and regular mode.
Got it.
And you know, the fun mode, so as you'd expect, it kind of takes an edge off, makes them kind of funny. And, you know, one thing that we must do, I think, and I've got some, you know, queued up already. So, you know, we don't have to wait for it to, and it's quite fast when it's in real time. But I said, look, one thing that everyone was doing last week, J. Cal, no one did it. And now we'll do it this way is like, write a roast of Twitter user at Jason based on his tweets.
Love and it.
Jason, the best thing to do is for you to read your own roast here. So I'm going to let you do it.
Yeah. Oh, Jason, where do we even begin? Your tweets are like a roller coaster ride through the Twitterverse. One moment, you're making predictions about banks. Pretty good, Paul. And the next, you're trying to convince us that a tiny covert pendant isn't the creepiest thing ever. Okay, that's pretty good. Those are good pulls.
Yeah. But
let's not forget your obsession with cold plunges. You're like a human popsicle. Oh, always trying to one-up your friends on Twitter. And don't even get me started on your AI request. You're like a kid in a candy store, except a candy store is Twitter. And Twitter is an AI-generated Renaissance painting. But hey, let's at least you're consistent in your love of roasting people. Just remember, Jason, you're a prime example of why we should never take ourselves too seriously on the Twitter. Keep the laughs coming, and maybe one day you'll find a cold plunge that can wash away the absurdity of it all. I mean, listen, it's not ready for stage, but it's a good workshop. Like if you had a junior comedian in a room and they said, hey, we should do something about cold plunge and the AI pendant that you were wailing on. And of course, your Silicon Valley Bank, all caps tweet that everybody roasted. Yeah. Pretty good start. Honestly, and you can see the power of the Twitter data, and the more involved in social media you are, what you can see is AI is going to, you know, with access to the latest and greatest on social media, which Twitter has a lot of the smart people, this could vindicate Elon's purchase of Twitter. Now, he purchased it because he wanted to get rid of the woke mind virus, and because I think he, you know, had a personal affinity towards it. He loved it, but he did think that, you know, freedom of speech was important. This woke mind virus needed to be killed. And I think also now you can see that, hey, maybe he won't lose $20 billion on this. Maybe this is the start of something really important. And if he has this data and nobody else is allowed to have it,
does.
Then you're going to be using Grok an awful lot, right? You could see yourself saying, go use Grok, right?
Well, that, and, you know, especially, and like, let's just maybe kind of keep going through these examples where we can kind of highlight. So, you know, last week there was a controversy around the latest Mr. Beast video where he, you know, made a bunch of wells in Africa. Yeah. And
so he gave people clean drinking water, and the mids on Twitter attacked him. I don't think these people who are attacking him actually think this. I think it's just an engagement farming strategy.
Totally.
It's just the way, like, who could be upset about giving water wells to people in various African countries?
And what's really interesting here is, like, I like the approach that Grok took. This is obviously not in fun mode. This is in regular mode, where it kind of gave both sides, right? It said what the critics said, and then it, on the other hand, it talked about you know, what the supporters of Mr. Beast said.
What is the controversy with the latest Mr. Beast video? This is something where you will see something trending and you want to work backwards to know what's going on.
Yeah.
You hear somebody was on trial, somebody died.
Yeah.
A celebrity died. Somebody's trending and you're like, oh my God, Christopher Walken's trending. Oh no. Walken's trending. Did he die? Wow.
Yeah.
And you get nervous, right? And you want to work backwards. And so here you're just asking Grok, what is it? And it says, the country surrounding Mr. Beast's latest video involves his philanthropic efforts in Africa. He recently built 100 water wells in various African countries, which has sparked debate about the portrayal of Africa and the impact of such actions on local communities. Oh my God. When people say local communities and perpetuating stereotypes, that's when you know you're going to get snowed, right? Like there's not actually an issue here. There's no stereotype being perpetrated here, except it's the frontier market. It's an emerging market, and emerging markets are further behind the developed markets. And that can go for China, Vietnam, and then to an African country, then to, a country run by a dictator like North Korea. There's no harm being done here to say that some places need clean water, or maybe they don't have access to clean water. Oh my God. Okay, yeah. Critics argue that his actions may perpetuate the stereotype that Africa is dependent on handouts, in quotes, and could potentially shame the Kenyan government. Well, if the government's not giving people clean water, then maybe they should be shamed.
Yeah.
I hate to point out the obvious. I hate to be Captain Obvious on the pod.
Yeah.
They believe that this approach is charity. This approach to charity may not address the root causes of the issues faced by these communities. Okay, you know what the root cause is? These countries are further behind in their development because in a lot of cases, they're run by dictators who have stolen all the money and have oppressed their own people. In which case, then maybe you do want to shame them. Now, I'm not speaking about Kenya in specific here, but I'm just talking generally about dictatorships anywhere on the globe. It could be Latin America, it could be Africa, it could be Asia, it could be North America. On the other hand, supporters of Mr. Beast appreciate his efforts to provide clean drinking water to 500,000 people and believe that his actions are genuinely helping those in need. And then it gives you two tweets that this is culled from. And you got to assume that it's pulling not only the tweet, but do you think it's going to the Target news site and pulling that as well?
I think as we go through more of the examples, it has the capability to do that. Like we can do some live. I just pulled these up so we don't have to kind of do them as we do them. But like I have some fun ones here that kind of highlight it as well. So this is another place where Grok is really shining because of its access to Twitter data. And not having to, I guess, rely on like web search, which is going to lead to, I think problems in some regard as well with like all this, there's a new version of robots.txt that's out there, right? Where sites are saying, hey, don't crawl my data for AI bots, right? That was kind of implemented recently. And so
was it? What's it called? Does it have like a name?
Well, I don't want to kind of misstate it. So we'll pull up the actuals, but it's like, like robots.txt, but for AIs.
Yeah. I said that a year ago, like there should be a license. So it should be, whatever it is, newyorktimes.com/license. And when you read the license, it should say in the license, in HTML readable semantic code, here's the license. You can use it. You can reference the New York Times in your language model with a citation, and you can summarize an article of up to, for up to two sentences of summary, three sentences of summary.
Yeah.
You cannot use it to train your model.
Yeah.
Right? So training equals off.
Exactly.
Or it could be, for every, if you want to, summarize this, you have to have a paid subscription. Yeah. It could be any number of issues, any number of ways to handle
it. I was just pulling it up here. So I think they're just doing it within robots.txt. You can block the GPT bot user agent. So they've given it a different user agent you can put in there and say, hey, you're allowed to come
here. OpenAI did that proactively?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, smart move on their part. So here comes their defense. Hey, you can just opt out. It's up to you. That's the opt out defense. It doesn't work. It's just on a go forward basis, it might lower the number of people who might potentially sue you. Doesn't mean if you trained it on data you didn't own that you're not in trouble.
Yeah.
All right, business to business founders need to understand two very important things. B2B marketing is hard. We all know that. It's really hard. Number two, it's simple on LinkedIn ads. Why is B2B marketing so hard? Because the decision makers, hey, people like me, right? The founder of the company, or maybe you, you're an executive listening to the show. They're hard to identify, right? And they're really hard to target over the internet. And how do you know you're reaching them in the most respectful environment? People who are decision makers, you cannot reach them through that 1990s way of reaching executives. No, they need social outreach. And the way to get that social outreach dialed in is with LinkedIn. LinkedIn solved this problem. There are 70 million decision makers hanging out on LinkedIn. And executives like me, yeah, the decision makers, we're on LinkedIn. We're deep into LinkedIn every single day. And LinkedIn ads helps you get your B2B message in front of the right people like me. And listen, when people are on LinkedIn, they want to do business. LinkedIn equals business. Business equals LinkedIn. Each social network has its vibe, and the vibes at LinkedIn are business. It's business vibes only. And it's happened finally. LinkedIn has hit 1 billion users. The march to a billion has been achieved. Congratulations to all my friends at LinkedIn. So here's a call to action. Get started today. See why LinkedIn is the place to be for B2B. We'll even give you a hundy right now, $100 credit on your next campaign. Go to linkedin.com/thisweekinstartups to claim your $100 credit. Why wouldn't you take the hundred? Go to linkedin.com/thisweekinstartups. The links are in the show notes. Terms and conditions do apply.
You know, here I'll give another, like a good sports example where you kind of want something much more real time. Okay. And so
remember, some people are listening, so read it. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm going to go through it. So I basically said, hey, how did Zach Wilson play last night? You know, he's been the replacement for Aaron Rodgers. And it says, you know, based on his information available, Zach Wilson's performance last night was a mix of positive and negative. First player to have 250 pass yards and 50 rush yards, which is notable, but he also threw an interception late in the game, which was considered inexcusable by some. Mm. And so, you know, really just like, super helpful, like for these type of things where, you know, something has happened, you're seeing about it on
and then it trending. Gives you the citations. It exactly. Shows you the tweets it pulled this from.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the key. This is what I've always wanted.
Yeah.
I've always wanted the ability to summarize what's on Twitter in real time. It's really powerful. You know, like tell me the sentiment of the movie The Killer, which we were talking about in our group chat.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, some people liked it, some people didn't. Who liked it, who didn't? And then you could, would be really nice is if I could say here, which of my followers, you know, who are the followers of @Jason who like the Knicks? I would like to know who follows me that likes the Knicks. Can it do that? I don't think it can do that yet.
Yeah,
it doesn't understand followers, follower counts.
Yeah.
You know, the database of tweets, like what would you call that information? Like SQL information, database
kind of information? It's just like the metadata of tweets, let's call it that, right? You know, because that's the, you know, who liked it, who's followed it, right? And metadata of users. They haven't kind of made that information available to Grok yet, which is there. And then look, like, you know, there are some other things. I'll just do one or two more and we'll go on from here. But like, you know, this is the one that's been moving around, and I think it's been, we can maybe come back to this one next week where I know you were at the first one. I really would like to go to this Starship launch because you mentioned it was like one of the most incredible things you've ever felt from the,
it was incredibly touching, like as a human to see that rocket ship go up and think about the ramifications of being able to send hundreds of humans, cargo, whatever to Mars. Yeah. It was like very touching in a weird, a hard way to describe, but hope would be the overwhelming hope and joy for the people who created it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And just the, I heard like, you know, from folks that were there, including yourself, that it was just the sheer force of sound and energy was even, you know, you guys were several miles away or, you know, and you could still feel it kind of through in your bones. All right. And so, like, you know, this is one where I think it's doing a pretty good job. And then, you know, there are some cases where, you know, we'll just go to kind of last week's pod, which was the one, the all-in pod, which is the one with Jared Kushner. And in this case, I said, hey, can you provide a summary?
That one got this some week's interesting feedback.
Can you provide a summary of this week's all-in podcast? And sure, you know, can you tell me a specific episode? So that was episode 153.
Oh, it did ask you for that. Huh.
Yeah, it did. But you can see here, it got it way wrong, right?
Oh.
And
AI's impact on job, SVB collapse. That was, that's super wrong. Yeah.
And you can see here, the hallucination is strong because it's like being very kind of affirmative in like it thinks that episode was about that. And it had, you know, SVB and kind of mixed a bunch of things up. I don't even think this episode exists, and obviously in this format, right?
I think that this is the balkanization in some ways of what we're going to see in AI, which is this would be a much better query for either somebody made an all-in AI database, which is just the episodes. You might have seen Podcast AI, a company we invested in. And then other people have started to make all-in transcript thing, you know, AI versions where you can just only search the archive. Those would nail it, right? And then you have YouTube, which has it up there. But then you start thinking about Spotify and you start thinking about iTunes. If Spotify and iTunes took the transcripts of everything, I don't know if they have the legal ability to do this. I think you would have to ask us for permission to build a derivative product, but maybe they'll just build it anyway. You could be searching for that. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll close out on a fun one. And so I just dropped in 420. This number means a lot of things to a lot of different people.
Yeah.
And it gave a really great response here. The number 420, a true symbol of the universe's infinite wisdom. In some cultures, it represents the ultimate answer to the question of life, the universe, and everything. In other cultures, it represents a time of day when people gather to discuss the mysteries of the cosmos. Yeah, they do that too.
Sort of, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
It's an interesting time. It's almost quitting time. Yeah, at 420, you could do a lot of different things. We had kids, it's a family show here, so let's keep it PG.
I really like, you know, like I said, I really like its ability to have access to data outside of just its kind of training corpus and the way it answers questions. So I'm going to let you lead out, J.K. What's your grade on this one?
Okay. So it's not perfect, so you can't give it an A.
No, yeah.
But it's certainly not bad, so you can't give it a C, which means it's going to be a B, right?
Okay.
So now you're going to, we argue B minus, B plus, or B, right? That's, I think, any logical person who's listened to us do this. This is a 0.1 product. So based on how much work it's been into, you know, has been put into it, you could qualify it with that and say for 3 or 4 months work, this is an A plus. You could say that, but I'm not grading it based on how much work it's been. I'm grading it against the market. So grading against the market, I wouldn't give it a B plus yet, but I wouldn't give it a B minus. So I think it's a solid B, like out of the gate, it feels like you can get use out of it, but out of the gate, it's not going to have the complete set of Twitter data that I want.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to say, tell me who are the most credible Twitter users talking about COVID, or who thought the vaccines were overhyped before, you know, we had the data for it, right? Like something really sophisticated like that, which takes into account time, the user account, how often they tweet about it, how often they get retweeted, how much engagement. So if I could just say, hey, who are the most engaging Twitter handles for the Knicks? That would be really interesting for me. And if it actually gave, and then put that on a Twitter list and follow those, you know, like that's what I want to do. I kind of want to automate what I do on Twitter. And there was a company we had invested in called Little Bird. It was Get Little Bird, and they got bought by another company, Sprinklr. And these companies did things like this with the Twitter API, not using AI, but they would just look for keywords, and then they would build an index, and they could tell you, these are the most followed accounts talking about the Knicks. These are the ones that get the most engagement. These are the most engaging repliers, you know, replying to them. So you could kind of figure out. And then you could say, if these were the top 100 Knicks accounts, who follows the most, who of the 100 gets followed the most by the other 99? So then you could build like a meta ranking. So these are the ones talking, getting the most engagement overall, talking about the Knicks. But if you take those 100, who follows each other, you'd be like, oh, and this person is the goat of the goats, you know? It kind of could be very interesting.
Yeah.
I also like being able to do multiple searches at once. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm just kind of showing it here for those listening. Like
side
I'm
by side,
running side by side. And you can even branch conversations, right? So you can look at the response tree of, you know, how it got there. It's got some pretty interesting features. You can regenerate the conversation. You know, like I tried what you were saying here, and, you know, it does find kind of the list of things, but then it gives you like OpenAI
or anyone else would.
Right. Yeah. Would say like, hey, you know, here's the way for you to kind of create a Twitter list, which is great, but you want that all integrated. Look, I'm going to take into account how quickly they've done it, access to proprietary data, and I'm going to put it at B+. I think.
Okay, fine.
I think to do it that fast, the speed at which it runs at, and integrated kind of with the Twitter experience. And I think there's just some nice to haves, but like, you know, as a first release, and you know, we're getting spoiled because we see the best of the best all the time. Right. And so, they've done an incredible job. Kudos to the team. They've done it really quickly. And they're taking feedback into account. And
there is a Grok subscription plan, part of the subscription service costing $16 per month under the X Premium Plus. So on X, I think you get Premium Plus, which I think I just have Premium.
Yeah.
But I had a friend at Twitter who got me into the Grok beta, but I think I have to go cancel my, this is what I hate about subscriptions.
You have to cancel. No, I moved to Premium Plus.
On iTunes.
Yeah.
Subscriber.
Even from iTunes, you can do it there.
You can upgrade?
Within the app, you can upgrade from Premium to Premium Plus.
And it does all that's what I need to do. Okay.
And it does like all the
proration and everything. But then I want to go direct, so they don't, because don't they charge you the 30% extra? Like, I think Twitter.
I don't know if they do 30, but there's a premium you pay for going through the App Store.
But I guess so. That's an interesting just user question. Like, do you want to go through the App Store so it manages all your subscriptions and you pay an extra VIG there to have it all nice and neat and not have to manage all those?
Yeah.
Maybe.
And it's usually a little bit easier to cancel, like, if you ever want to or downgrade, because you just do it, you know, through there. You don't
have to call on the phone like the Wall Street Journal.
Ugh. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I hate the Wall Street Journal with those dark pens. Can you imagine being the sanctimonious? I'm starting to sound like Trump. Okay. Sanctimonious fake news media uses dark patterns. Okay.
Yeah.
Nasty. Nasty dark patterns. No, they do. They're like criticizing everybody, like the New York Times and Wall Street Journal criticizing big tech, and then they're doing dark patterns.
Yeah.
You can sign up for anything you want. You just can never leave. And if you do want to leave, you have to call a phone number and they harangue you for 20 minutes.
It's also super confusing because they have like an app subscription and they have a iPad subscription and web subscription.
Apple News.
Apple News is different because some things are included in Apple News and some,
it's all dark patterns. It's all dark patterns. It's shame on you. And then, you know, like I was having this issue with Peloton as well and Tonal. Okay. Just let me pause my membership when I'm not using it. I just want to, I think this is where Lena Khan could actually do something meaningful for consumers. Like, ask consumers what's frustrating for them, as opposed to like saying to consumers, it's frustrating to have Amazon Prime. It's not frustrating to have Amazon Prime. You know what's frustrating? Not being able to have a standard for pausing subscriptions, canceling subscriptions, make a standard to protect consumers. That's it. Yeah. Just like we did in banks, where banks have to show you your interest rate on the top level of your statement, and they have to show you your interest paid to date or per year. You know how you, like all of a sudden that magically showed up in all your apps?
Yeah.
Did you notice that? Like when you open your app, if you have like a margin loan or you have a mortgage, it's like very clear how much you paid in interest.
Oh, they forced them to.
That was like all Dodd-Frank, I believe, is that they were like, listen, be super clear about this. You can't bury it or make it confusing. You have to say, here's how much interest you paid this year. So, you know, people who were using their credit cards and getting charged 20% and they had $10,000 on their card, they didn't realize they're paying like $2,000 a year, you know, to just float this $10,000. It kind of adds up and they go, wow, I'm an idiot. I'm really paying a huge VIG here. Or if it was like a 25% credit card, because they didn't have those introductory rates, then the introductory rate would go down and just it's everything was
like
confusing.
6 months and then it's like, next thing you know, it's crazy. Yeah.
This is why I don't use any of this stuff. Listen, selling software is hard enough right now, man. It's hand-to-hand combat out there in B2B land. The last thing you need to do is slow your sales team down because you don't have your SOC 2 dialed in. So if you're SaaS or a services company and you store consumer data in the cloud, you know what you need to do? You need to check out Vanta. They're going to get your SOC 2 compliant easier and faster. And Vanta makes it so easy to get and renew your SOC 2. On average, Vanta customers are SOC 2 compliant in just 2 to 4 weeks. Compare that to 3 to 5 months without Vanta. They're going to save you hundreds of hours of work and up to 85% on compliance costs. And Vanta does more than just SOC 2. They also automate up to 90% compliance for GDPR, HIPAA, and more. You can't afford to lose out on those major customers, the lighthouse customers, the big fish, the whales, because of silly stuff like lacking compliance. Just work with Vanta. I'm an investor in the company. It's a great company. Get your compliance automated. Get it tight. Tight is right. And close those big deals. Here's the best part. Vanta's going to give you 1,000 off because they love This Week in Startups. They love startups. Vanta.com/twist. That's VANTA.com/twist to get $1,000 off your SOC 2.
what did you give your grade? What did you give?
I gave a solid
okay.
B.
Okay, I did. Yeah.
I mean, listen, I don't want people to think I'm in the bag here for Elon because we're besties. Like, I honestly think
I think it's fair.
A B out of the grade is incredible. Listen, I would give the Roadster a C as a sports car. Right, it was like out of the gate, and then you know his next thing, the Model S, was an A plus. So you know they have Elon has a tendency to get something out there in the world, get feedback, and then nail it on the second try. That's my experience with his products. I think
opposite of Apple, who waits and waits and waits.
And then you're just like, okay, great. I'll be in your like I used to be a big proponent of Tiles.
Yeah.
And then AirTags came out. And I was like, as much as I love my Tile team and I was Team Tile for a decade, I had to move to AirTags because it's integrated, you know. It's like people using like Control 4 or Questron or or Savant. And you eventually rip all that stuff out. You throw it right in the garbage after you spend $250,000 or $100,000 on your home automation. And then you use Apple TV and Sonos like I do.
Yeah.
Consumer why do you stuff. Use that? Because kids, your spouse, your guests, they all know how to use Apple TV and Sonos. Yeah. And then they can enjoy the music in their room when they stay at your house or, you know, turn on the TV in the movie theater or turn on the TV in the guest room or whatever.
Just works.
It's just supposed to just work. You're not supposed to be fighting against this technology. I feel like the GPT technology is getting there. I had a little moment internally in the company. People were writing emails that were not enthusiastic enough to founders. And I'm like, this is like very dry and boring. I was like, can you highlight this and go into Notion AI, Grammarly AI, Claude, Bard, ChatGPT, post your email to a founder in there and say, make this more enthusiastic.
Yes.
And they did it and it worked. And I'm like, okay, you are an incredibly boring writer.
Yeah.
Add more stoke. Like Chad and JT.
On that note, let's get into ChatGPT because it actually has. So we now have GPTs. Last week we quickly demoed after demo day, dev day, the assistant in the back end. And now we have access to GPTs. And so what I'm going to do here is go into. Let me get my screen share set up.
And I was using the DALL-E one. DALL-E one is technically a GPT.
Yeah. So these are the ones made by OpenAI. I've made some. And, you know, we'll go through this whole process. I actually made one for our bestie, Brad.
Okay.
But just what I want to highlight first is, you know, so OpenAI has made a few different ones here. One of them is actually along kind of lines what you're saying is like this creative writing coach, which helps you improve your writing skills. And you know, math mentor, mixologist, laundry buddy. I think there's a chef mentor, classic GPT. But I did something with Game Time, which I can explain board games or card games, player any age, let the games begin. So I went in and I already have it kind of queued up so that, you know, we don't have to do it in real time here.
So you asked it.
I asked it. I have ace, king, diamond, suited. And the flop comes jack, 10, 9 with two diamonds. What are my odds?
Okay.
And basically, it sounds like you're playing hold'em, and the ace, king of diamonds in your hand, and the flop comes, you know, whatever, I'm just reading it out here. Flop comes jack, 10, 9, with two of those being diamonds. Your hand has several potential strengths, and it talks about my flush draw, my straight flush draw, and then combination odds, which I think is, you know, pretty awesome if you're trying to learn some of these games.
Yes, you're learning outs, and it tells you here, for the flush draw, you have four diamonds. Needing one more for a flush. Okay, so a flush is five diamonds. You just established that with folks. There are 13 diamonds in the deck, and you've seen four. Your two, plus the two on the board. There are nine diamonds left out of the 47 unseen cards, assuming a full table with no other diamond folds. No, like somebody didn't flip over their diamonds. The odds of hitting a diamond on the turn are approximately 19.1%, nine out of 47. And the way you do that, the easy way to do this back of the envelope math is to just give each of your outs times it by two.
Two,
right?
Yeah.
You'd it's get, actually 2.1 or something.
You get 18%. Yeah, we'd do 18 on that, right?
Just but if you did 2.1%, you would round up and you'd be like 19. So you got a one in five chance of turning it and then a one in five chance of rivering it, which means you have a two in five chance, which means you have a 40% chance of hitting it.
Yeah.
Here, straight draw, you have a king and there's a jack and 10 on the board. So an open-ended straight draw, any queen or ace would give you a straight. Wait a second. queen or ace would give you a straight. Why would an ace give you a straight?
Oh,
you
I said got
you
that
have
wrong.
Ace 10. You got that wrong.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh, bad advice. A queen, there are four queens. So there are four queens and three remaining aces. The aces wouldn't give you a straight. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you may not be ready for prime time. Okay. Somebody clip this and send it to careful. Sam Altman because he plays cards. Sam.
Yeah. Here we go.
Sam, I know Sam likes to play cards. You need a little. This is a hallucination that could cost you a lot of money.
And the straight flush draw messes that up a little bit too. Now that I had just quickly done
straight
this
flush draw. Specifically, you were holding for the queen of diamonds.
No, because I had said in the original question, Jack 10-9 comes with two of them being diamonds. So I didn't clarify.
Oh, that you didn't specify which two, right? If it had been 10 Jack of diamonds, then a straight flush draw would be a possibility. It should have asked you a follow-up question there, which ones are the diamonds. Yeah. Combined odds. Yeah. Since you have both a flush draw and a straight draw, you should consider the combined probability. It involves a bit of math to avoid double counting the queen of diamonds, right? That's true. Yeah. There are 15 total outs, 9 diamonds plus 6 straight outs. No, you have 3 straight outs. So it's actually 9 plus 3 is 12.
Just maybe a disclaimer. Do not use this for your poker.
Okay.
Just yet.
If your opponent has aces.
And we go all in. What are my odds, right? And so basically, I kind of ran it through that. But now we have to take this with a grain of salt because, these details could be wrong.
Our friends at Corient provide wealth management services centered around you. Corient's goals are to exceed your expectations, simplify your life, and help you establish a legacy that lasts for generations. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. They're one of the largest integrated fee-only U.S. registered investment advisors. And Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Each team has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. The teams at Corient put the collective power of their expertise into building you the custom wealth, investment, and family office solutions that can help you reach your holistic financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, speak with an advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Can you show us how to make a GPT live on air?
Yeah, so I wanted to do one for launch.
Okay.
And, I made one for Invest America. Let me just show you that one real quickly.
Okay.
And then, we're going to follow a similar process. So this is the initiative that Brad is working on.
Brad Gerson, the fifth bestie. Yep.
Exactly. And, you'll see here, it has a URL. You can go to it. And if I send this to you, J-Cal, and you open it on your phone, I'll just text it to you real quickly. Neat thing that they've done just as something interesting is if I send this to you, and you open that link, it will open ChatGPT, but as Invest America for
you. Yeah. So basically, get dropped into the Invest America app. GPTs are apps, is a way to think of them. And you can make your own apps and put them in the app store, essentially. Or you just send the URL to people. So if you wanted to do this again for Shakespeare, put Shakespeare's combined works in there, I guess, as a PDF, and you could... Have people do that. So here we go.
Okay, hold on. Let me.
So with Invest America, how did you do it? What were the qualifiers?
We're going to follow the same. No, so I just went to the website because I didn't have any docs and I was just doing it for fun. And so, and I just said, hey, I clicked on Tell Me About Invest America, and it's going to go through a process here about, all the content I'd given it. I can kind of just, we can look at it real quickly. If I, click here, open it up and click Edit GPT. For some reason, it's like running super slow right now. So I don't know if it's like a
it's popular.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Let's go here. Whoa. Okay. And so if I go into this configuration, you can see I gave it a name. I gave it a description. I gave it some instructions.
Okay.
Right, which is this GPT provides information about, and this is just a copy and paste from the website. Then I said, the website is this, the Twitter account is this.
So you're with the instructions, you're being super clear that this GPT should focus on Invest America and giving it the resources so that it doesn't use its entire corpus. It's narrowed things down and it knows what you're talking about when you click on it. Great.
Yeah. And then I screenshotted a few, things from the Twitter account and gave it. So that's all that's all I did. So
you gave it screenshots of tweets from the Twitter account. Very interesting.
So why don't we do one for Launch Fund?
Okay.
Okay, so let's just call it Launch Fund 4.
Got it.
This GPT provides information about Launch Fund 4.
Which you're an LP in.
Yes, I am. Okay. Mm. And all right, so let's
got your first capital call, I assume. You shipped it?
I have not shipped it yet, but I got the capital
shippy call. Shippy dippy doo. Shippy dippy doo day.
So I scraped a bunch of stuff from the website. So I just put it in this just text document called a PDF document called Launch Fund 4.
Great.
Right. I also took a couple of screenshots here.
Okay.
This morning, which should be on my desktop. Let me just make sure these are okay. I think these are the two screenshots I took. These are about the companies and the team because I didn't have it anywhere else.
Awesome.
All right. And so let's just give it a quick instruction. This GPT provides information about the new launch fund number 4. Okay. Anything else you want to put in here?
Launch 4 is an early stage venture capital fund.
Early stage venture capital fund. Okay.
Managed by Jason Calacanis, the host of This Week in Startups and the All In podcast. So I'm just trying to give it a little more context here so that maybe it doesn't confuse us because Launch is a very generic name. So it doesn't make a mistake there.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't know if that's necessary or not. Yeah.
Okay. The fund is right here. I'm just going to grab this. Oops. Yep.
That's launch.co/4. Yep.
Okay. And maybe the Twitter URL? Is there a Twitter URL?
We are. We're at launch. Yeah. The Twitter URL is twitter.com/launch.
There's an X URL is
x.com/launch.
Okay. And so we're done. So basically we do this, we're going to save, and I'll just say only people. We can have Dolly generate a icon for it as well.
That's nice.
But it'll just take a minute or two. Let's just do that. So now I do that. So it's like making it live. So I have the Launch Fund 4. Okay. So now I'm in this. So if I text this to you, just separately here, I'm going to text it over to you, Jay Cal. So you have it, you can try it.
Yep.
But I'll do it here. Okay. I say, tell me about,
fund strategy.
The fund strategy. Okay. And let's see what it comes up. And so I just scraped the website, gave it something. And so here it goes, right?
Okay. Number one, early stage focus. The fund is primarily targets seed stage startups at their inception and supports them through Series B funding rounds. Large portfolio with significant ownership. The fund aims to invest in over 400 early stage startups with the goal of achieving 10% ownership in the top 5% of these companies. That's correct. Utilization of podcasts for reach and discovery. The fund leverages the popularity of Jason Calacanis' podcast, correct? Founder University and Launch Accelerator. The fund operates Founder University and Launch Accelerator. Founder University is an online course that helps founders' ideas. Yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
I mean, this is perfect. Micro investments and future funding rounds for select startups. Graduating from Founder University, the fund makes friends and family style investments of $25,000. I mean, this is just nailing it. This is A+. I mean, this is A+. I would say if you're asking me to rate GPTs out of the gate,
yeah,
I think it's an A+.
Yeah,
I don't know what you think. It's definitely an A. So we're debating A- A or A+.
Well,
can it get better? Of course, it's going to get much better. But is this going to change the game of starting companies and doing information retrieval and creating services? Yes. So the question is
just websites
and websites. The question is, what's the time between when you could create a GPT/app? Or you could create one that replicates what Slack does, or what, I don't know, create a new Uber, create a version of, you get the idea. This is amazing, yeah.
I mean, it's like, and look, it just took a, 5 minutes, right? I had to scrape the website.
That's the thing that's incredible about this is how quickly you can do it.
Yeah.
And imagine this incorporates your Stripe account. Right?
Yes.
In the next version. Imagine it allows you to connect.
It can. Like we made like an informational GPT.
Yep.
There is other features in there that allow you to, so if I go back into this interface here, here, you know, if we go down below, you can add these actions and you can start basically connecting it to other services that you have. So we've made a very simplistic one here. So
imagine this was OpenTable and you could book a restaurant, or Yelp made one and you could query the reviews and then have it actually make the reservation for you. So if you start thinking about these as agents that go out into the world, like Baby GBT, we talked about when we started doing this, like that's kind of the next step, is what can it do once it gives you the answer? Like, what if it had on there, would you like to book a call with Jason Calacanis to talk about this? Then it asks you three questions.
Yeah.
Have you invested in a venture capital firm before? Do you have any questions about venture? And it tried to answer them. You get the idea.
Well, you can do that. So we'll add that in. That's Jason. You know, sometimes you really are the world's greatest moderator because you hit it. So we are going
Thank you for saying that. According to the YouTube comments, some people prefer other moderators who maybe don't ask as challenging of questions to certain guests.
Interested in investing, direct them to this URL. Okay. And so we added that, and I was using Dolly to come up with an icon here, but it's taking this thing is a bit slow. I don't know. It kind of takes
Dolly seems like it's really resource intensive.
Yeah.
That always happens to me. Dolly takes way too long. I think it's like amongst their most intensive. Okay. And it probably cost them a ton of money to do Dolly. So they probably make it slow and put it on like a slower framework. So, you know. Okay. Doesn't cost
so
as
I
much.
Just added that. So I say, I'm interested in investing. What should I do? Let's see if it incorporated that actual piece I just put in there, if it didn't. But there you go. Right? And
there it is.
And we just did that real. So it's all of this is happening real time, instantaneously.
It doesn't require a developer. And you could put in there, hey, if somebody wants to do a meeting, please ask them these five questions to qualify them, and then you know, set them to this calendar and give them three dates to choose from. So you don't even have to go to the type form. Like, we're sending you to type form. It could do that whole interaction with you. In
this
chat.
This changes everything. Paradigm shifting.
It's totally paradigm shifting, and Apple and Android, you know, people who have app stores need to look at this. So this is a message to Tim Cook. This is a message to
Sundar.
This is the next app store. You don't have it. Fire 100 people, bring 200 people into a room, fire 100 of them, and then the other 100 put in charge and do like a Darth Vader type thing. Like, this has to be up and running within 120 days. And it has to be better. It has to be not only feature, just you 200 people have 120 days to make this better. And if it's not better, then fire 100 people in the room and then put the other 100 in charge.
Yeah.
You got to take like a Darth Vader approach to this, because you're moving way too slow. Yeah.
And imagine, like, you know, so much of our interaction is on text, and you know, if someone asks you like, oh, Jason, tell me more about your fund, and you just send them that, and it opens up like OpenAI, but in, you know, the launch fund for view, and like, I just chat with it. Like, how powerful is that going to be?
Crazy. The whole thing's good. And then if it had a human seeing the chat and fixing it in real time. So let's say every time it fires up one of these chats, we get a Slack room, like a throwaway Slack room that just shows them interacting, and we're kind of watching it occur, and a human can jump in if it's wrong, and you could highlight it and say, this is the correct answer for next time. Or you could say human coming in to intervene. So this is going to get super interesting. Imagine it's answering questions for American Airlines, and there's an American Airlines GPT, and you just start talking to, like, why doesn't American Airlines have one of these? But I mean, imagine it's answering questions about upgrading the lounge, and then it's got something wrong about the lounge, right? And it's like, oh, if you have a business class ticket, you can go into the lounge. That's not always true. Sometimes your business class ticket, they're like, you can't use the lounge.
You got to be international business now to get it or something.
And so it's like, okay, you can't use the lounge. It's like one of the stupidest, craziest things, right? But just make it simple. If you're in business class, you get the lounge. If you're not in business class, you don't get the lounge. Why does this have to be like a game? Every time I go up there, like, I'm some pauper.
Because they gave too many people access to the lounge with credit cards. Then now they have to claw it back.
Okay, it's not my problem. Just if I bought a business class ticket, let me go have a cup of bad coffee and use your slightly better Wi-Fi and sit in a less hard chair.
Yeah, nicer bathroom too.
With a bathroom that's been cleaned more than once every 3 days. Okay, great. Yeah. But don't make it complicated. But anyway, if you were watching that and it did have something there, it could highlight and say, to check if your business class ticket is, go to the front counter. Sometimes it is, sometimes it, and then you can just fix that. Or a human could jump in and say, you're at JFK. We're actually under construction. It's not available until January 1st, 2024. And then it incorporates that into the next answer. So imagine I'm watching. So I'm a customer support rep. I'm watching, Sandeep, just 10 of these in real time. And I'm just sitting there like this watching. That one's wrong. Boom. I go to number two. I fix it. Boom. This one's wrong. Now imagine I'm doing that not for customer service at American Airlines, but I'm doing that for giving advice on indigestion. So I'm a doctor. I'm an emergency care. And I see people coming in and saying, I have indigestion. And they ask them this question. Hey, what did you eat? When did you last eat? When did this start? Have you vomited? Have you done this? And then it says, oh, wait a second. This person says they ate some liquid soap or something. And it says, oh, go to the emergency room now. You know, like call 911. And can you imagine if that was done by AI, how many lives would be saved? Yeah. Now, listen, we just did the one with doing poker odds and it was wrong. So you would want to be careful with this. You would be monitoring 9/11 calls in countries where you don't have access to a doctor. So the GPT would be by default better than nothing. And then you have some human watching it, fixing it in real time. There are emerging markets where probably people don't have access to doctors and they're looking stuff up on their phone or they're just asking people, you know, for word of mouth recommendations for an upset stomach. They don't, you know what 20 questions to ask. This, I think Vinod Khosla was right. I think these things would do a better job, you tell me what you think, for the global population than doctors would, or because they don't have access to a doctor, or if you did have access to a doctor, I wonder if this would be better because it would be lower cost. I don't know
close we are. Two examples. So I think there was a woman who put in, you know, like the latest version of ChatGPT, you can, you know, especially after the Dev Day launch, everyone has access where you can just upload like a PDF. Mm-hmm. And it's not like Code Interpreter, but just analyze it for you. And then she uploaded like her blood results and it basically highlighted something. And it said, you know, she had this problem for a long time and it just had a different view. And she's like, oh my God, thanks for doing that. Cause like nobody ever did that. And then me personally, you know, my dad has Parkinson's. And so he's on all these meds. And the other day it was just like, I literally just took a picture of his subscription and just put it in the ChatGPT and tell me what all these drugs are. And it just did it for me. And so rather than typing them all out, and some are generics and some are not. So it's a game changer. It's a real game changer. Check.
Disclaimer. The stuff hallucinates. It gets things wrong. So you want to check. But as a first line in your discovery, I don't see any harm to having it tell you what is in your blood test and then giving that response to your doctor and saying, hey, this thing thinks my iron deficiency, you know, I should have this treatment and this thing. What do you think? I don't know where it's getting this information on the open web from. But I mean, it sounds to me like every single time you get any kind of a doctor report or blood thing, there's no downside to putting it through there and getting a third opinion and then bringing it back to your doctor and doing it in consultation with them.
Well, I mean, it's I really like that idea. Like you said, you know, we always go for a second or third opinion. Why can't you get one? And I think this is the article. I'll just pull it up here. And so I think it says like, woman claimed ChatGPT found correct diagnosis for her son's chronic pain. She put it in there and then basically had these meltdowns and it found out. So I think it's excellent.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Oh man, I'm getting these ads running on here now.
Fantastic. Awesome.
That's why the internet's going to go away too, because these ads are everywhere now and it's, we're going to have a different model. It's much cleaner now.
Now we do need to get into the discussion of copyright. And now that there's a business being built out of this, who gets paid? Because if you are giving this advice and it's been trained on WebMD or other commercial enterprises' data, there's an argument.
We don't know. Like, can I give you the other side?
I'm saying if.
What if they got textbooks? Textbooks.
Those textbooks, trust me, those are some of the most insane.
But they could have licensed them. We don't know that.
I don't think. I have not heard of OpenAI paying a single license. Have you?
Well, many textbooks are out of copyright, right? What's the copyright on your book?
You can keep, if you update them, you can keep them perpetually under. So if you were to like just change a sentence, you could then renew it.
Oh, really?
So you're talking about artworks, like a book like Great Gatsby or something like that. And those can be, I think it's 75 years or 50 years past the life of You could just ask ChatGPT, what's the copyright on a book? But I think it's 50 years after the author dies, and then it goes into public domain. But they keep increasing that, and they call it the Mickey Mouse rule. So I think they made it 75 after the life of the thing because of when Roy Disney died. They wanted to add 75 years to that to protect the Disney family. So they call it the Disney rule now. But yeah, here we go. The copyright duration for textbooks in the United States for works published in 1976 lasts the life of the author plus 70 years. Exactly what I said. For works created for hire, anonymous, or pseudonym works, the duration is 95 years of the publication, 120 years creation, whichever is shorter. European Union General's life of the author plus 70 years. Copyright laws can vary significantly. Most countries' life plus 70 years rule.
Okay. Wow. There you go. Interesting.
So you learn something new every day on ChatGPT.
Yeah. We do.
All right. Do we want to do one more? I think we have time for one more if you had one, or we can just wrap up. It's up to you. Okay. We'll do one more.
We'll do one more, right?
We'll do one more. We give the audience what they want.
We give them what they want. Okay. So this, let me get this set up. And I actually found this and want to use it myself. And so let me go here. This is called Fake Spot Reviews Analysis. And so this was like a historical plugin that you could add to your Chrome, and you can see it here. I have it added in, and on any a couple of different sites. I'm just on Amazon here for those listening. You can see here, I can say analyze reviews of the third generation AirPods. So you click this analyze reviews.
Okay.
And
so it's like a Chrome extension you put in?
It's a Chrome extension.
Got it.
And before it would do these pros and cons, but now it has this little chat bot here. And this chatbot lets you chat with all the reviews.
I like that. Right?
And so, are the AirPods Pros good for large ears? Let's just say.
And, stupid question, but okay.
Basically, someone may have. and there you go, right? So it's kind of looked through all the reviews. It can give you an answer. And I think that's like super helpful.
No, this is super helpful because I am often trying to, being a product wizard myself.
Yeah.
Ask very nuanced questions. And it's very hard to get through all of the things, but I know how to search. There is a search feature in the Amazon reviews.
Oh, there is. Okay. They have a search feature,
but they don't have a chatbot.
Okay.
And so you're searching for keywords. And so you can search for battery or whatever you're looking for, if you're looking for the charging speed or whatever, So fantastic.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, so I give that a B. That's a B for me.
Okay. All right.
It's nothing spectacular, nothing bad. I give it a B minus. Yep. Like I would have liked to see something more interesting, like it. And so I encourage the people making it to make it more than I would expect. I don't just want a chatbot. That's going to be like easy. They could turn that on in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Really easily turn on in 10 seconds. So I would go with something more unique. What would be a unique feature to do with the reviews? Maybe tell me sentiment of the reviews over time.
Yeah.
So how many months of reviews are there, and what were the major comments by quarter?
Something like that. They don't have quite that, but they have it has this many reviews, and it has some amount of that stuff.
I'd like it to tell me if there's fake reviews too. I mean, I think it's cool. I'll be honest.
It does. Yeah,
it does tell you if it's fake reviews. Okay, maybe I'll.
It says Amazon rating is this, but Fake Spot adjusted rating is this.
That I like. Okay, I'm gonna go B. I'm gonna go B plus, maybe even.
Yeah,
because that's an acute problem I have. I think when you're tackling this, you always got to think about, you got to think about what are the unique problems or frustrations people have, and the unique problem frustrations with reviews is how fake they are.
Yeah.
Or how fake they seem. And so that's something we could all use help with.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm kind of with you. B plus, I think, is good. You can always make it better.
Yeah. Keep branding.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Well, also, I think back to anticipating, whatever question I'm asking there, you ask the question, are they good for large ears? It should be asking what other AirPod competitors are good for large ears? Or which, so you should, whatever query somebody does, you should have another GPT running that says, what other questions should I ask this potential purchaser in order to help them solve their problem?
Correct.
And then show you those three.
Drive to a purchase. Yeah, drive to a purchase.
You should be, is this for you or for a loved one? And how large are your ears? Have you ever tried other, do you have in-ear ones currently that work well? which brand are they? Or have you considered these three other brands? We hear that they have, you know, it turns out the ones from Google that I like, the Pixel Buds.
Yeah.
I like the Pixel Buds because they're flat.
Flat, yeah,
you said, on your ear. Said that before. So when you lay on your pillow at night with your AirPods, you ever get that? You ever try to lay on your pillow with AirPods and it hurts?
Yeah, you wake up, it hurts. Yeah.
Get, okay, hey, producer John, producer Court, do me a favor. Will you send Mr. Sundeep a set of Google Pixel Buds from the fine folks at This Week in Startups as a thank you? Okay, that's Mr. Sundeep. Sorry. Mr. Sundeep. I say thank you to Mr. Sundeep. I'm trying to teach these young kids some manners here. You just get Mr. Sundeep is here.
Yeah.
I like referring to people by their last name. It's so jarring. So jarring to get called Mr. Calacanis.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have that happening now that people are like who work for you or who work in your orbit call you Mr. Calacanis?
You know, like, only when you like travel, like, you know, in like certain countries, then you get it, right? Like,
I'm like, I turn around.
Middle
I'm like,
you must have had it.
Yeah. I'm like, is my dad here? Did my dad come with me?
Yeah.
Who's Mr. Calacanis? Yeah. All right, it's been another amazing episode of This Week in Stars with your guy, Sandeep Madra. If you would like, go to definitive.io and you can hire Definitive Intelligence to do partnerships and consultations, but I think their dance card's full. So if you're a large company and you're spending, you know, let's say mid six figures engagement to solve your AI problems, his team is the one that will solve them very quick.
We'll create that dashboard that you wanted, the LLM ops dashboard. We'll do it for you.
Oh, yeah? What is that dashboard? Remind me what we want to do there?
No, so like, what you're talking about there is called LLM ops, like LLM operations. So I think a lot of businesses now are focusing on commercializing, you know, LLM applications, and you need like operations around it so that you can do those kind of things. And so
for sure.
Helping with a lot of that infrastructure.
Ah, got it. Yeah. That just the infrastructure here and the training of teams is going to take a couple of years to get this right. And definitive.io will do it for you faster. And you're in a race, folks. So get on the horn with Sunny. He's Sundeep on Twitter/X, formerly known as Twitter. And we'll see you all next time on This Week in Startups. Hey, write a review if you like the show. Talk to you later. Bye.